Off top, guess what? The vanilla snack Charlie Kravitz is back. So, Charlie, I got wind of a DM sent by someone who thinks you're cute. Put it up. Let's take a look at... Oh, there it is. It says, I like the guy. Ask Damo if he's single and how old. So, sorry to disappoint all the fans out there. Charlie is not single. He's happily engaged. And I don't know how old Charlie is. 30-something? Curls for the girls, Charlie. You got the curls, I got the girls going nuts. Play music!
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
All right. The Dominique Foxworth Show welcomes you all here. And also, I'm so honored to be here with Charlie, the snack attack, Kravitz. Why are you not saying anything? You're so quiet. You're not flattered?
I hate you.
Why do you hate me? I mean, it's important. This is something people who have been with us since the beginning. Remember how when you first got on screen, a lot of people were surprised that Charlie, you remember that's how you got the name, the vanilla snack.
It's true.
So I'm supposed to just let a DM come my way where people are trying to holler at the snack and not bring it to the...
It didn't come your way.
It did come my way. It came my way via a friend. So someone posted a video.
Ashley's cousin's friend.
So Ashley's cousin posted a video and her friend said, who that is?
Send a video.
Yeah. And she only dates black guys. So congratulations to you. You crossed over.
Thank you. The Anthony Edwards of this podcast. Should we talk about some playoff basketball?
Yes, we should talk about playoff basketball and eventually get to some playoff superlative.
That's right. Yep. We got to start with the Knicks. My Knicks.
Your Knicks? Okay.
Our New York Knicks. Okay. You stole my thunder.
Yeah.
I had to have my Knicks.
They're everybody's Knicks, to be honest with you. Oh, yeah. I think everyone outside of Indianapolis is enjoying, or outside of Indiana is enjoying the Knicks.
Everyone except for Reggie Miller. But they won game two. They're up 2-0 in the second round against the Indiana Pacers. They are walking wounded. Mm. OG Anunoby went out with a pulled hamstring. Brunson's got...
A foot.
It's a foot thing. He's got a foot thing. They're missing Mitchell Robinson, who has a stress fracture to his ankle. Bojan Bogdanovic is injured. Julius Randle is out.
Josh Hart is praying before games because he's concerned about surviving all the minutes that are given to him by the great Thibs.
He broke a record for most minutes played in the last 8 playoff games.
Wow.
It was a record, 373 minutes. He broke a Wilt Chamberlain record.
Those don't get broken.
Those don't get broken.
That's ridiculous.
But
I think it should be Tibbs' record, honestly. But okay, go
Tibbs,
ahead.
Tibbs gets the placard for it.
Black.
Well, how should the Knicks feel after their game 2 win?
Bask in the joy that is the Knicks. And they've had these guys who we thought were role players step up in a big way. So I don't think it's completely over for them. I mean, they're up 2-0, so like you would expect them to win. But I think the general sentiment is things are going to change when they don't have Jalen Brunson, who's been scoring 40 points every game except for this last one. And this last one is only because he was out for extended time.
Quarter and a half.
Yeah.
29 points in 2.5 quarters.
Yeah, because of the injury. So... it's a tough feeling. The concern is like how bad is the foot? Like they could survive a game or two as long as they could get Brunson back at some point at good enough shape and still win. But I don't know. It feels like found money, which it shouldn't, because they advanced to the second round last year. But I don't think anybody would be disappointed if they come up short. It's one of those teams that rarely are associated with big cities. But it's one of those teams where they're underdogish and everyone kind of loves them. So it's a fun story. I don't think there's any downside. I know they don't think this. They are planning on going to the championship and winning a championship because athletes are delusional. I was one, I can tell you. But it's still they're in a good spot.
I mean, Jalen Brunson's going to play game 3.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You're going to have to drag that man off the court to not let him play. I think that their feeling of joy is very tenuous.
Yeah.
It's very immediate, but like I think that Tibbs is partially to blame for these injuries. I think the minute load and the fact that he didn't figure out ways to like get Josh Hart a rest, get Jalen Brunson more rest is a little bit nuts. It's history repeating itself. Yeah, of course Jimmy Butler got the second act, but that's what he did to Jimmy Butler and like turned his injured his knees, ended Joakim Noah's career, ended Derrick Rose's career really early. And now we're seeing it with Hart Brunson, DiVincenzo, and Anobi. These guys, it's one thing to play them 42 minutes. It's another thing to just grind them into the ground like this.
You know, I have a contrarian streak, so I want to defend Tibbs and point out that there are lots of injuries around the playoffs, and this is just what's happening with basketball now. But I can't when you go down the list of names. Like, I want to point to Embiid. I want to point to Giannis and Dame, but you named a bunch of dudes. It's like, it's a lot. And it seems like, and then you went back into history. It does seem like something that comes with the Tibbs thing. So I'm not sure if you can blame Tibbs if you know that's what you're signing up for. So I don't know if you want to blame Leon Rose or whoever hired him, but you know that's what you're getting with Tibbs.
I mean, yes, but it's also like,
or Jim Dolan.
You know, like when you get like a dog and like they get near the oven the first time, they're like, "What's this thing?" I'm gonna, and you're like, "No, get away from the oven, dog. It's hot. You'll burn yourself." Tibbs, like,
okay, I get you.
Get your hand out of the oven, Tibbs.
I get you. However, if you have a dog who keeps going and putting his face on the oven 7 times in a row, it's your fault for leaving him in the house alone with the oven on. Like, it's...
Then we have to put Tibbs in a crate.
Yeah, or you need to put, like, one of those baby gates, put a baby gate around the oven. It's a weird analogy because I didn't know that dogs... My dog has never messed with the oven. Well, I don't have a dog now, but my dogs have never been interested in the oven. Like, I don't know, chewing up shoes, they do stuff like that.
Sure.
Not the oven.
Tibbs also...
Or drink out the toilet bowl, that sort of dog thing.
I could actually see Tibbs chewing up shoes.
he does like a shoe chewer. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think this is possible? I guess that's the question. Is a Tibbs supporter would argue that this is the way that he knows how to win, and you can't argue with the results. The sad part is the results is they're up 2-0 and they're down 5 players.
Yeah.
So those are the results.
And they're, to me, clearly the better team. And I don't think that in a situation where you have the clear better team, the by far the best player in the series, and you're up 2-0, you should feel like incredibly confident. And this series is something where I don't feel incredibly confident that it won't slip away from them.
The shocking thing, too, is that these players are not, outside of Jalen Brunson, like, I understand, like, when you're, what are we going to do in the non-Jokic minutes? Like, I get that. That's a hard thing. You got to find a way to steal Jokic some rest because your team is entirely different. LeBron in his prime, or LeBron right now, too, because they don't have a second ball handler, or a legitimate one, I guess, D'Lo. But anyway, those are the things. That's the thing that I think is confusing to me about Tibbs is it should be pretty easy. Like, McBride is functional. Like, it should be pretty easy to figure out ways to steal a couple minutes here and there for – like DiVincenzo and Josh Hart? Like, come on.
That's the thing. And like the Brunson stuff, I mean, Brunson's turned this New York thing into the most exciting story to come into the Eastern Conference in a while. Like, it is must watch with the MSG crowd and Brunson's Willis Reed moment, hobbling out there on one foot and making everything. I mean, we're going out and expecting him to score 40 every night.
Yeah.
He has been the best player in the Eastern Conference.
I know the line was like 37, which is absurd. I had a random question for you. Brunson's career, I'm trying to figure out who to compare it to, but I kind of love it so much right now. I'm trying to figure out like who's won a championship career would I trade in to have Brunson's career, because being the underdog man who made New York relevant for the first time in 30 years, or I mean, that's not 30 years, but the first time since almost 30 years, Carmelo.
Oh, that's the one.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Melo's career or Brunson's career?
Yeah. I mean, I'd much rather be Brunson in New York than Carmelo.
Yeah.
I mean, Carmelo's career is pretty great, but he didn't win a championship. I don't know. The fact that he is the king of New York is pretty freaking great for getting to the second round twice. He's like the king of New York.
He has more playoff wins than Melo already. I mean, the thing about it is like Brunson has done, I mean, his development's unbelievable. He's, you know, top 5 MVP finisher, but I've never seen anything like the Brunson Hart DiVincenzo thing.
Yeah.
They picked up exactly where they left off on a college team. And it just works the same way. They play the same way. They assume the same roles. Like DiVincenzo didn't have this role on Golden State or Milwaukee. He's not creating it for himself. Josh Hart is like, I mean, obviously the rebounding and stuff, but he looks like Bulls Jimmy Butler. He looks like college Josh Hart, where he was just this dominant physical guy. And I think a lot of that trickles down from Brunson because, yeah, he's an incredible superstar scorer in a way that's surprising to people because of his height and his build. But he's obviously clearly empowering teammates. Like, actually, he's trusting them to create for themselves.
How could people be so dumb to doubt Jalen Brunson just because of his body type?
Do you remember
small-minded people?
Do you remember the days when we were at when people were on this network crushing the contract he signed with the Knicks?
I do remember those days.
And people being like, "How could you spend $100 million on Jalen Brunson? He's the 15th best point guard in the NBA."
Yeah, it's like, well, dummies.
The going rate is almost twice that, and you know what? He's one of the six or seven best guys in the league, period.
The thing that the kind of bigger picture thing that you and I have been tiptoeing around a lot more and more this season is like the way situation matters mm-hmm. in basketball in a way that we never really considered it before. And we've always kind of talked about basketball players as like they're the players they're going to be. And we don't appreciate that the situation, giving them the opportunity, giving them the right players could open something up. And so while you're right, Brunson has his leadership has allowed some of these guys to flourish. I do think these guys in this situation and frankly, just giving him the franchise in a way that I think SGA is another example of that, where he was, he wasn't going to be given the franchise in L.A. for the Clippers. Then he comes to OKC, they give him the franchise. It allows him to flourish. The same thing with Maxey. They get rid of Harden. All of a sudden, he flourishes. I think we'll get into some of these players a little bit more later, but I think that's the biggest takeaway for me in watching this Brunson thing is we don't know exactly what these players are, all of them, outside of the situation that they're in.
I mean, I got a question for you, but this is sort of pushing it forward with the Knicks. It comes summertime. Mm-hmm. You've just watched this MSG crowd. You've watched this Knicks team. The Knicks are so cool again.
Yeah.
But you also know that this chemistry is this like really delicate thing. And of course, they added Ananobi. And then when you have Brunson and Ananobi out there, they're 26-4. You get the best basketball out of Ananobi's career. But a huge part of this is the chemistry of the three Villanova guys. Mm-hmm. And if you're another star or if you're Leon Rose, are you thinking like, now we're a destination. Now we need to go get a guy, or are you like, we got this? Because like to me, it's clear. Go find a way. Yeah. Get Mikal Bridges in there. Yeah. Make it the Villanova four.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous question to ask. If they want to win a championship, they're not winning a championship with this roster. So they're gonna have to get a guy. I don't know if Mikal Bridges is enough, but it certainly pushes them in the right direction. But
Giannis.
Yeah, now we're talking. But
and Bridges.
I mean, Tibbs still going to be the coach. You're still going to get to the conference final with everyone beat down and broken. So you want to trade the coach? Like, what are you going to do? Like, you have to get on board with this or figure. It seems like they should hire.
He's a good coach is the thing. He's an awesome coach.
Great coach. Yeah, he's been incredibly successful at a number of different places. But I do think I was defending him. But from your perspective, there is a bit of a cap on how good a team or how deep a team can go.
I don't know. I just think it's like
there's a higher risk.
It's also just like frustrating that he didn't adapt at all to this for this situation.
Which suggested to me that it's not something that he wants to adapt to. Like you think it's a problem. Other people think it's a problem. He thinks it's the right way to coach.
Yeah.
And I assume that it wouldn't be very hard to put together a plan for like when we're going to, like what's our rotation, when we're going to pull people, when we're going to put people in. Like that can't be that hard to protect their minutes in that way.
And you know what? Maybe DiVincenzo doesn't turn into this guy if he's not playing 40 minutes instead of 22 minutes a night.
Maybe, maybe not. Also, you know how people say you're supposed to play every play like it's your last? Mm-hmm. It does feel like Tibbs coaches every minute like it's the final minutes of a game seven in the NBA Finals. It's like, I got to have all my guys out there.
By the way, I love how you have taken on the Russillo of now watching every shot to see if it's going to go in or not and calling it before it leaves their hands.
I do.
And the first thing you said to me this morning was when you watched DiVincenzo, you now assume every single shot's going in.
It's so weird. It's a weird thing. So like listening to Russillo, I heard him say that he kind of brought up the thing that we all experience.
Yeah.
That like when a guy takes a shot, you have a feeling whether it's going in or not. And there was a time when DiVincenzo took a shot, and I'm like, all right, we'll see. Now he pulls it. I feel like it feels Steph-ish. Feels like Clay. That's a better example where it's like, oh, yeah, That's going in, which is a weird thing, and that's happened in the course of this playoffs.
Yeah,
like the beginning of playoffs, he did struggle a little bit too, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he had a couple bad games. Yeah.
But then it's just like every shot is buried, and Josh Hart, similar thing. This team, these are guys that were never thought of as like big three-ish. I don't know, they're on the verge of it, but they definitely are that to this team.
Yeah,
even if they aren't on that level consistently, they're that to this team.
You know who the number one guy who anytime he released the ball, I thought it was going in was?
Ray Allen.
No. From 8 to 16 feet, Sean Livingston. He's never missed one of those shots in history.
It's such a boring shot, though. I thought, who's the shooter? Who's the shooter that when it left their hands, you always thought, I was thinking because your age, it'd be Ray Allen.
Or Curry.
Yeah, Curry. Curry's not, that's not fair. Curry is the obvious one.
I mean, it's Sean Livingston. It's,
I mean, from the deep. Only,
whenever that game gets brought up, I mean, I don't know if he's ever missed one of those shots. He might have shot like 10,000 for 10,000 from 8 to 16 feet.
Mark Price.
Great player.
Yeah, John Paxson. Mark Price was like a surprisingly great athlete, I think. I feel like I stumbled onto that at some point.
Probably. I mean, he would have been an unbelievable player in today's NBA also.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DF today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DF.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur. Barnstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Because he can shoot.
And great passer. Should we do some NBA superlatives?
Let's do it.
All right. So we love superlatives. We've done them for NFL seasons. We've done them for plenty of things. This is NBA playoff superlatives.
Can I say why I love superlatives?
Sure.
I personally like them in part, especially now, is because everything moves so fast.
Yeah.
That we forget moments. And I like the idea that right now, at this point, it's not over. We're kind of taking inventory to like try to make this stick in my brain so that 5 years from now when we're doing this show, I'll be like, you know what this reminds me of?
Yep.
All right.
First draft of our 2024 NBA playoff yearbook. I literally thought you were going to answer that question and be like, You know why I like superlatives? Because it means we're not drafting something.
I was going to go there or go with because I am superlative. Is that a compliment? I don't know.
It can be, or it can be now. A massive insult.
All right, let's do it.
Biggest surprise.
There's a lot. I think I have to be honest. I've been spending the first part of this podcast singing Jalen Brunson's praises. I have to be honest. He's been the biggest surprise to me. The haters that we were talking about earlier that were hating on him because of his body type, as most of the listeners know, I am one of those haters who is obsessed with, not obsessed, but weight athleticism and the eye test higher than most. And I think it's served me well through the history of the NBA, but I've been dead wrong about Jalen Brunson. And it's been fun to be wrong, to watch Kyle Lowry number two out there giving them the work.
I love that.
He's on a higher level than, it was an insult to say Kyle Lowry, but I was the first person I think of who also was built like a fire hydrant.
Yeah, I mean, insane dumpy on Kyle Lowry. For my biggest surprise, I have an honorable mention than my choice.
Okay.
I'm already breaking the rules. Honorable mention for biggest surprise. Slightly less surprising.
Okay.
I'm going to try and say this in a nice way. The honorable mention is...
Don't say it.
Kyrie Irving's resurgence.
Oh, I thought you were going to go a hater route. I appreciate it. Okay. Yeah. No, I like that.
Not on the basketball court. I didn't know if we're ever going to see this version of him again as like this composed second option who is like really supportive of a really eccentric
right
star.
Now,
yeah. With the injured Luka. But I mean, for this whole Mavericks run, he's really like understood how the team flows and how the offense flows. And obviously off the court, he sounds completely different than he did for a couple of his years of his struggles, shall we say.
Yeah.
The biggest surprise to me though, has been the Nuggets folding in the postseason.
Really?
Yeah, I'm just really surprised by the lack of composure. And obviously, they could come back and win the series against the Timberwolves, and I could look like a big old dummy. but yeah, it's really surprising to me because you know you have an all-timer in Jokic, you have a team with a lot of continuity, and it's not just the Timberwolves series. It was seeing them try and flip the switch against the Lakers in every single game, rather than just be like, now we're this team. We're going to roll this sort of old and stiff Lakers team out of the building. That's stunning to me.
The Lakers series looks a lot more embarrassing, or not embarrassing. It looks like it was a lot tougher now than it did at the time. Yeah. I was unwilling to buy into it being a tough series when they swept them. But now the issues that they had in that series are like magnified. So I get that. I feel like I need to point out that hanging over all of these is Anthony Edwards and the Wolves, kind of, because like we could have definitely put them for a biggest surprise too, like that no one expected it. We all kind of talked about it and said maybe, but no one expected it. Anyway, what's next?
Next one. Now we can get into our hater bag. Most disappointing.
All right. I'm going to preemptively take this from you so that I can be more gentle. The Suns.
Wasn't going to pick them.
Really?
Wasn't going
to
pick them.
Yeah. The Suns, they've been incredibly disappointing. They were favored to beat the Wolves before that series. And they had, I think, a winning record. Maybe they were undefeated against the Wolves in a regular
season. Swept them in the season.
Yeah. They were a team that was really exciting in the offseason because they got all these stars together. And then they had an unhealthy regular season. But we all kind of assumed that these stars would come together, Beal and Booker and Durant, and at least get out of the first round. It's hard to think of something more disappointing than not that they lost in the first round, although that is disappointing. That doesn't get you to most disappointing. Which gets you to most disappointing is how they lost.
Going out sad.
Oh, they went out so sad and got swept and embarrassed and seemed outmatched the whole time. So that's my son. And then start hating on the coach and just blaming everybody on the way out. It's a bad look.
Yeah, to me, like, Edwards' emergence, he's going to be a theme throughout all of these, has made it look like a lot better. Like, because then what they've done the first two games to the Nuggets, it's like, maybe not that bad.
Yeah.
Maybe we should run it back in Phoenix for one more year. Fix some stuff around the edges. Grayson Allen was hurt. Why not?
I like that. Can we just slide in here one more superlative? Well, never mind. All right, we'll keep it going. I don't know all your superlatives, but I'm going to make sure that we get to my man Ann at some point.
Oh, we're going
to
get to him.
All right, good.
But my most disappointing... The Los Angeles Clippers. That series was a catastrophe.
Yeah.
It was a catastrophe. Their offense without Kawhi Leonard is absolutely putrid in the way they closed out that series. This has been a five-year run where they traded 7 first-round picks and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for Paul George, which ensured the signing of Kawhi Leonard. They then traded for James Harden, which worked for about 5 minutes where they were great in February. Westbrook went off the deep end in the postseason. Yeah. They have no team continuity. Paul George is probably going to leave. This run is, it's hard
over.
Not. Yeah. And I thought they were going to win the title in 2020. Like, you look at those two guys, Kawhi was the best player on planet Earth, and they've got nothing from that group.
Yeah. It's incredibly disappointing, but it's not that disappointing because it's hard to be disappointed by something that you're not surprised by.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, their whole run is incredibly disappointing, but they fell apart the way we expected them to fall apart. Yeah. So it was ugly, especially again, looking at the Mavs in this next round look not quite as powerful. Like, it's having the reverse effect that we had the Suns.
Yeah.
Look like they're a little bit better because the Wolves are so good against the Nuggets. The Clippers look a little bit worse because the Mavs are struggling in the next round.
I think part of it for me, though, is that stretch in February when Kawhi was healthy and playing, because that's what makes it so disappointing, because in those he's never going to be healthy again.
Yeah.
And it sucks because in those spurts, he can still be one of the best guys in the NBA, just getting you a basket and making plays down the stretch and being completely unstoppable.
Him hanging on the rim in order to reduce the impact on his knees. You remember that? Mm. He like dunked and he like hung on the rim for a second and like lightly landed. That was like the picture of like the sadness of this, like, oh
yeah,
it ain't never gonna be the same. And we always imagine like maybe he could get it together for enough weeks, but I think it's clear that he can't. Good for him, got that money though.
Yeah,
appreciate you, Ballmer.
And you know, great career. Weird,
yeah, great.
I mean,
career.
Weirdest career to like to like figure it out, because his highs were in that era of stars on the Mount Rushmore with Durant, Curry, LeBron, and Kawhi. Those are the four guys of that sort of generation. But he's going to have none of the volume or counting stats.
Yeah.
But the highs are insane. Most likely to win it all.
Curveball here on you. Slight curveball. I'm going to go to the East. The Celtics. I'm not going to go that curvy.
That's my pick also.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, boo. All right. Why do you got the Celtics?
I mean, I think we might be, because of the East's lack of competition, be underrating the fact that this team, great net rating, 64 wins. Jason Tatum hasn't even played well in the postseason. Yeah, they dropped that one game to Miami when Miami made 23 three-pointers, but they're sort of just rolling, and we might look up in like a month and a half, and this team has quietly gone like 16-3 in the postseason, and we're like, oh, they really were this good all along.
Yeah.
Where do you hide against that team? There's nowhere to hide.
Defensively, yeah, they're a scary group.
And offensively.
Yeah. Well, I guess hiding suggests that you got the ball, but yeah. But Joe Mazzulla, man, I have a hard time imagining Joe Mazzulla during a post-game press conference covered in champagne. It's a weird thing, and him talking about town or whatever.
It's going to be so weird.
Oh, man, and him jumping out to play defense in between timeouts. Oh, gosh, Joe Mazzulla. He seems like a cool guy.
Yeah, I mean, he likes to get choked out by his jiu-jitsu instructor.
I didn't know that. That's new.
Yeah.
All right. Don't yuck yums. What's next?
Next one is biggest breakout of the postseason.
You go first.
Mine's going to be Jalen Brunson.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know he's a top five MVP candidate. I know it was
He balled last year, too.
He balled in the postseason last year. But I think he still was this unassuming NBA character who has established himself as, like, he's one of the guys now.
Yeah.
He's legit one of the guys. Like,
a number one that you can win with.
Number one you can win with. I mean, I'm assuming that Kawhi Leonard's not going to play in the Olympics this year with his knee, or Embiid won't with his knee. And now it's like, yeah, give the spot to Brunson. Like, he's one of the dudes who should be out there with Ant. It'll be Ant's team, but he'll be out there with Ant and LeBron and Curry and Durant. And it's going to be like, let's go win a gold medal. Like, he's established himself in a different way from like a cute story to like one of the dudes.
To be clear, by one of the guys, what I believe you mean is he can be a number one option on a championship team.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's a big statement.
Big step. And also, like, now it's not going to be like a pity. Oh, he just had a good season. He deserves like one of these all NBA spots. Mm. Like, no, now we know he's actually good enough. He should be defaulted into one of those spots.
Someone's going to have to knock him out. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, all right. I'm going to use my chance like you used earlier to do an honorable mention because it's required, because I want to crowbar Tyrese Maxey into this conversation.
Great.
Because I think that he broke out to me. I think that he was at a different level, a high, like we'll see how good he was. And then in the clutch moments of a couple of games in that first series, he did the type of stuff that one of the guys does. So he's not one of the guys yet, but I think that breakout was real. I would like to give him a little bit of mention.
I love Tyrese Maxey, and I love watching texting about basketball with you because you have preconceived notions about types of basketball players. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not the only one. No. Everybody saw Tyrese Maxey running around all fast and was like, bet that boy can't shoot. that's what you're talking about, right?
Yes, and you were just stunned that he was an elite three-point shooter.
It's shocking. Yeah. What name the super athletes that also could shoot great? I was shocked. I mean, that was like a year ago, though.
I know.
Yeah, it's changed my perception. I was like, I assumed that he was out there getting his De'Aaron Fox on. I'm sorry. Call me crazy.
It's the best. I love that you look at undersized shooting guards the way that like Bill Polian looks at quarterbacks.
Yep, they can't shoot.
I know what they are when they show up in shorts at the combine.
All right, that was my honorable mention. We spent too much time on him. The actual true breakout is someone who we spend a lot of time on. It's Anthony Edwards. Like we can't keep dodging the fact that he is the MVP of the playoffs. He is the story of the playoffs right now. That team is. So yeah, he's the breakout. We don't have to talk much about it because we have. Every show in the past 3 weeks.
That's going to, that can buttress into the next one, which is my pick for the biggest story of the postseason. And for me, that's with you. It's the Anthony Edwards breakout. Mm-hmm. He's the guy now.
Yeah.
Like win or lose this series, he's going to go into next season as the MVP favorite. He's got like a real chance to be like the next great American player. We've talked on this podcast like 5 times over the last 2 years about when will the next American be the best player in the world? You know, it might be right now.
Yeah.
It's like really right. Might be right now. And like, yeah, it's the basketball, but like, it's also like the maturity and like the way he's transformed the team's persona. Like I know that stuff is all very nebulous and could be like BS. It's not. With him.
It doesn't feel like
it. It is not with him. Basketball teams take on the personality of their star, and seeing that happen with Edwards is so cool.
Yeah, I'll transition into mine because it's similar. It's the biggest story for me has been the like more physical 90s style of play, and the mid-range of Anthony Edwards and the physical play of the Wolves has been something that I enjoyed. And it was a mid-season change that the league made that we all celebrate and we're enjoying. I think it's important to understand that we like offense because it's hard. Mm-hmm. We don't like offense because it's offense. So, like, yes, I think it would be foolish to say that people turn on the TV to see defense. But I think defense is like the invisible factor that makes the offense special. It's like the intense physical defense is what makes us say, wow, that was great. Going for 150 every night and every other night someone going for a career record or PR. It's not fun when half of it's from the free throw line and the rest of it, people don't want to challenge him because they don't want to send him to the free throw line.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, none of the foul merchantry being out of the game.
It's great.
It's great. I mean, it's just so much better watching these games, just at least somewhat restricting of freedom of movement and having these guys be really physical is awesome. Next one, favorites, and this is different than biggest story.
Yeah.
Favorite story of the postseason, the one that's touched you the most.
My beloved Young Thunder. I love them. I stole them and I love them. Yeah, it's been fun to see this team, a collection of really young players, and it feels like Dagnall has the opposite of the Thibs disease in that in clutch situations, he'll let anybody run off. I mean, not anybody, but...
anyone but Josh Giddey.
Yes, anyone. Well, he actually let Josh Giddey run some pick and rolls, but...
Yeah. He's like, oh, they only have to guard 4 people?
Yeah.
Sit your next to me.
Exactly.
Get out there, Cason Wallace.
But watching them do that, and obviously SGA is the best player on that team, and Chet is probably the second best player on that team, but them trusting everyone to contribute and make decisions. Lou Dort be getting a little full of himself, I have to say, that he be acting a little too aggressive offensively, but I think it's part of it. You take the good with the bad.
I mean, Chip England got Lou Dort making jump shots.
No, catch and shoot, Lou. Yeah. I'm fine. I'm not great with dribble drive, Lou.
I'm pretty sure Lou Dort could play in the NFL, by the way, just build-wise.
Yeah. I wish I was offended by that, but I'm not.
It's just continuing our conversation from yesterday.
I agree with. I mean, basketball.
He's like a biscuit in a weight room program away from 270.
Oh, yeah. With that athleticism on the D-line, oh, monster.
My favorite story of the postseason. My beloved MSG crowd. The Madison, there is nothing cooler than when the Garden is rocking.
It's one of those things that we've heard all along is like, the NBA is at its best when the Knicks are good. You guys were right.
When they started chanting Seven Nation Army and it felt like a football game in game two, I was like, this rules. This rules. When Josh Hart went to Reggie Miller and was like, Reggie, they're saying you. I was like, this is awesome.
This is fun. But I will say that you're hurting your cuteness by getting too excited. You gotta stay cool.
I can't.
I'm not gonna receive any more DMs if you start yelling on this rules. That's not sexy. It's not as sexy as being cool.
That's okay. Maybe I should say it more.
Snack attack.
Scrappiest role player.
I don't know. Like all of the Knicks except for Jalen Brunson. I think I know you're going to say one of the Wolves wings. I can imagine that's coming. I'm going to go with Josh Hart because he's getting a bunch of rebounds and he's very scrappy, Josh Hart.
I think it's, credit to us picking Josh Hart, and I'm going to pick Jaden McDaniels.
Yeah.
I knew it. Josh Hart's the obvious one, but McDaniels turning into like this guy, this co-star with Ant is wild.
I love that.
Together.
I love that Ant told you to do that and you did it. Mm-hmm. Good job. Way to respect the man. It's his league. He told you to give Jaden some love and you did.
I mean, credit to us for not picking TJ McConnell. Dante DiVincenzo.
Oh, shout out White
Dante. Can we get Austin Reeves? Did Caruso's team make the play-in?
Yeah, they were in the play-in. That's right. Yeah.
Scrappiest player in the play-in. Alex Caruso.
Oh, man. Poor Alex Caruso.
Most likely to have earned a permanent demerit on their legacy.
All right. Get ready. Brace yourself. Jason Tatum.
How can you say that?
I mean, it's pretty easy to say. I understand that what you're imagining that I was going to say is someone like KD or Embiid.
Knew you weren't going to say KD.
Yeah, definitely not going to say KD or Embiid or somebody like that. But the fact of the matter is, prior to this season, for pretty much the entirety of Jason Tatum's career, we've been saying he's going to be one of them ones, as you mentioned earlier. He's the type of guy that can be the number one option, the take over the game type of guy, the centerpiece of a team. He is their best player, but he is, in comparison to Anthony Edwards, he ain't that. So while demerit suggests that I'm dropping him down to the bottom of the list, I think I'm finally coming to accept that he's not going to, he's going to be great. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He may win the finals MVP. He may win a couple championships. I don't even know if he'll win a league MVP, but I picked him to win a league MVP this year. So maybe this is just me being a little mad that he let me down. But I think we have to accept that at this point in his career, he's getting close to his ceiling. And it ain't Anthony Edwards.
So it bothers you. So like they could win the title and it would bother you the fact that they can win games easily in the postseason where he goes like 6-for-15.
It's not that it bothers me. It's fine. It's just the demerit point is I had moved him up there to one of them ones. Mm. And I think it's clear that he's not. Yeah. And it's and in part it's clear because I'm seeing what Anthony is doing. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And we all kept waiting. Like, Jason, you're going to do it. You're going to do it. Now you're going to do it. He got the experience. He's been there a couple times. Now he's going to do it. And it's just not what it looks like.
Yeah.
And it's just not going to be that, which is fine. I think that when we talk about the all-time, like he will be, there's only room in the league for like two of those guys or three of those guys at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my thing, is I thought he was going to be one of those guys. And it seems that he's going to be like the second tier one.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
I love that you keep an honest top five. There aren't 10 guys in your top five.
I don't know if I keep an honest top five or not, but I guess the fact that I'm taking him out of it suggests that I do. But am I wrong? Like,
No. I mean, it's
a thing to say on a team that's dominating everybody that I also picked to win the championship, and he's the best player on it. But it feels true to me, at least for me. I look at him differently than I did before this season.
Well, it's also hard because for most likely to earn a permanent demerit, that's one that could actually shift. A couple like 40-point games, like if he goes toe-to-toe with Edwards in the finals or something. Yeah. But for me, the one I'm going to pick, and there, I know that there will be a million excuses for him. He was hurt. He's always hurt. It's going to be Joel Embiid. Like, they went out sad again. He was incredibly dirty in that series. Like, bizarrely, dangerously dirty the entire time, which has been a trend with him. He talked all that after game two, saying that they were the better team. They're going to win the series. He was the presumptive MVP before his injury, before he had a little bit of Bell's palsy. But if you're out there, I'm going to judge your performance.
She said a little bit of Bell's palsy.
That's how it was reported. Woj said he's got a little bit of Bell's palsy.
A little bit of Bell's palsy. Okay.
Proceed. A mild case of Bell's palsy.
We can't. I feel like this is something we shouldn't laugh at. All right, proceed. I was just laughing at saying he got a little bit of Bell's palsy, like it's not a big deal.
Look, you got, I can only judge knee, you if you're out there.
And he's like, hey, you just got a little bit of Bell's palsy. Fight through it.
I mean, he had a little bit of Bell's palsy.
His eye was not, he couldn't control it. That's a bit of Bell's palsy.
Control the other one.
All right, go ahead.
And look, he's on the other side of 30. He doesn't take the best care of his body, it seems, based on his fitness level at times. And it just might never happen.
Yeah.
It might not ever happen for someone who's one of the most skilled, powerful, big guys we've seen on a team that, like, that we're running out of excuses and options and different coaches and different co-star players. Yeah. At some point, it's just, he's not going to be that guy.
Yeah, I think he crossed the midpoint after this playoffs of most likely going to win a championship at some point to most likely he's not going to win a championship at some point, to me at least.
Yeah, and he's someone like, I think we talked about this, like I could see him having this second act somewhere else where he's on a really good team where he fits in. He's like sort of like older Sabonis, or Vita Sabonis, not Domantas Sabonis, of like a stiffer guy who can do all these crazy things skills wise, and that might be his destiny for wanting to win.
All right, let's end on a positive note,
which is most likely to have earned a permanent like check plus an improvement on their legacy.
Yeah, I think it's obviously Rudy Gobert and Tim Connelly. I'm going to group them together because Tim Connelly was a new GM and we all roasted him, and now he seems like he was right.
Built the antidote to the Nuggets.
Yeah. And Rudy Gobert, like this, the whole conversation about Rudy Gobert and the reason why part of the reason why Tim Connelly got roasted for trading for him was you can't win a championship with him because he'll get played off the floor. And I guess him not playing in game two and them still dominating hurts him a little bit, but it does feel like it's going to change the way we talk about him. The top line on his Hall of Fame plaque is not going to be started COVID and was annoying in French. It's going to be NBA champion and four-time defensive player of the year.
I love that pick. That's probably the right pick. I'm going to pick Adam Silver.
Oh.
Because of the backroom dealings after the All-Star game when he changed the rules of the NBA to allow it to be more physical. When he actually made something that was not just for like the enjoyment of the players. He made a much better product for the fans that was much more interesting and allowed much more diverse styles of play to be successful in the league and defense to be back. Like, that takes some stones to basically be like, we need to make this change now, period. And obviously, I'm sure it's a better TV product. They're going to get a massive TV deal. But it's also just more interesting. And that's hard to do midseason. And he did it.
Great. So, I mean,
kudos to you, Adam.
People who've been listening all season know that about a month or two ago, you destroyed
Adam. You addressed my concern. Like, my specific concern.
Good for you. You're a big, mature man. Thank you for that, Charlie. And also, thank you for being here. Keep coming. If you guys want to flirt with the snack, he's around. He's not available, but please give me ammunition to make fun of the vanilla snack. All right. Thank you, Charlie, for being here. Thank you to all of our great producers. Kevin, Brian, Serafina, Megan, Cortez is a coward. I love you, Podville.
I mean, Miami wasn't even a disappointment. We expected this.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.